Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Just me and Del now. Lance beat it. He's beating it right now, as a matter of fact.
He left.
I know.
I can't speak to what he's doing in the privacy of his own
office. No. He's beating it. He's leaving. That's the same thing.
But I said he left.
713-780-3776. Let's get Adrian in here because he's been waiting a while. We'll start the hour with Adrian. What's up, Adrian?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
Hey, I truly enjoy the show. A couple questions and comments. I want y'all to bear with me. Speaking of Lance, how come Lance has to leave at 10 o'clock every show? I'm just wondering. I don't know if y'all talked about that before.
Maybe I missed it. He's got his other job, and he only wanted to do 3 hours here because he's got the NFL's gig. And during the season, okay, it's really, really difficult to get all that done. So an extra hour. It's no biggie. Me and Del carry it. Okay. We carry it. Actually, it's much better without Lance here.
His job. What's he doing right now? It's November. What's he doing right now?
He's looking at tape.
No, he's not.
No. He's actually looking at tape of guys that opted out. So he's got to go back from the last couple of years and look at that.
Don't buy it.
I ain't buying it.
That's awesome.
All right.
That's awesome. I wish we could get more. And another thing about Lance, I wish we could get more SEC guy. If we could, just to throw that out there a little
bit.
He
can't do that anymore because of the NFL Network.
And apparently, in a word we could say, he's a P-word, apparently. But yeah. I could say that word, actually, if I wanted
to. Right, you could.
That's why he doesn't do it. He's afraid of what might happen.
He's the P-word.
Gotcha. Well, I really wanted to call in and talk about the topic of the day, obviously. The best receiver in the NFL, based upon that Bills-Cardinals game. Cole Beasley was awesome yesterday, wasn't he? I mean, you need to lock him in on fantasy if you got him. But, no, seriously, it was painful and joyful to watch what DeAndre Hopkins did yesterday. Just to know that he was in a Houston Texans uniform and to know that he is officially the best receiver in the NFL, unquestioned after what he did last night, I don't think you can question it. I want to ask, is that Bill O'Brien trade now the dumbest trade in NFL history? I mean, I can't think of a trade dumber than that as a business move. I'm still trying to find out if he can get arrested for that trade because it should have been illegal. Bottom line, I really feel like that solidified everything you can say about D-Hop being the best receiver and that trade being one of the dumbest, if not the dumbest, NFL history. I just want to hear y'all's take on it because I know y'all probably
I think when it happened, it was rated the – and now when you see the results – of a team that's 2-7, and you see D-Hop going up against three guys, and they're, 6-3 now? I mean,
yes.
I don't even know that it's arguable.
No.
It is the dumbest trade in NFL history.
You watch this team play. They can only beat the Jags, and the Jags, I think, only one of the year. Is it against the Jets or something? So at the time, people thought, wow, that's awful. You're getting a David Johnson who wasn't great.
Wasn't great.
Wasn't
and
good.
You're paying him $10-11 million.
And you get a second round pick.
It's
back.
The dumbest trade in the NFL. Even if D-Hop wasn't any good, if D-Hop was hurt all year long,
uh-huh,
if David Johnson was a good running back, it would still possibly be the worst trade in NFL history because the value that you put on DeAndre Hopkins is the dumbest move ever.
And a correction, the Jags beat the Colts week one when they were, I think they're down big and came back and won, but that's the only win of the year. And this is a team, you watch them on Sunday, and they look like they're Purdue and Texans uniforms playing. There's no juice.
No.
One of your acquisitions dropped a sure touchdown pass. Well, who knows? Maybe Randall Cobb would have fell before he got to the goal line, but at least he was near the goal line before he dropped the pass. They're just, It was dumb at the start. I didn't need to see DeAndre do what he did to the Bills.
No.
He could have gone catchless in that game, and I would have known. What are you doing?
No.
By the way, the player you acquired, not active because he's got concussion issues, and he won't be active for the next couple weeks at a minimum.
And he had concussion issues coming into this.
Oh, and when he was on the field for the Texans, he was below average as a running back, you know, the position he plays. It was bad from the start. It's bad now. There will be no way of digging out from under it. And it's one of the reasons Bill O'Brien's not here anymore.
Yeah, no, Bill O'Brien's not here is because he was the worst. He's the worst. He was a month into his general managership, he was voted the worst GM in NFL history. A month into, he was being named the general manager of the Houston
Texans. Let's throw in that DeAndre was under contract for multiple years, and no matter what he said, he was going to have to play, and you didn't have to trade him.
Mm-mm. No. We can't rehash this anymore. No. Hey, we got to stop this. Just terrible. What did we learn anything from the college football Saturday?
Michigan and Penn State stink.
I mean, holy cow.
They're really bad. Now, this is all people can, you know, get into COVID, but and Penn maybe these players State. Don't care anymore because all of their season goals are done. I mean, they weren't going to make the Rose Bowl. They're not beating Ohio State for a Big Ten title. All that stuff is out the window for Penn State 3 weeks in. So maybe they could go to 0-for. Who knows? And Michigan's just bad. I was watching that game, the Wisconsin game against Michigan. Oh, it's Wisconsin, Michigan. I'm going to watch. And then when it got to like 14, I was like, why am I watching this? I'm just watching this because of name recognition. But why am I sitting here watching this? I know what's going to happen. Michigan's going to get blown out. And that's what happened.
What, 49-11?
49-11.
Wow. Just.
I caught myself at one point. I don't need to watch this anymore. Stop it. Stop. It's been an okay Saturday of college football. You don't need to watch this. God. And who knows what Harbaugh, who knows what Michigan wants to do. They might just chalk it up to a COVID year and say, okay, whatever. But.
No. They're really, really bad.
And it doesn't look like they brought in a quarterback who'll be, I don't know if he'll be ready for next year, but they shouldn't be this bad. Losing to Wisconsin is not really understandable because of what the issues Wisconsin has had. They still had guys missing on Saturday, but they had their starting quarterback back. They're okay. Wisconsin's a good program. So, okay, you lose to Wisconsin. But the last two games they've played against Wisconsin, they didn't belong on the same field. Michigan people can probably justify not being as good as Ohio State right now because that thing's been rolling for a while, but not even being able to compete with Wisconsin?
No.
There's nothing you can say about that.
Well, Graham Mertz is the greatest quarterback in college football history.
He didn't actually play that well on Saturday, by the way.
The greatest quarterback in college football history.
You could watch it or you could just look at the numbers. He wasn't that good on Saturday.
Chris says, no, it's the second worst trade. Worst was the Giants trade Sam Huff to the Redskins for Dick James and Andy Stinchula. The coach didn't like his all-pro middle linebacker. That's a real possibility, right?
No, I don't.
No, this was even worse.
It was worse.
You got the best receiver in the NFL, and you gave him up for a guy who hasn't played well in 4 years and a second-round pick. Sorry, Chris.
When you
I don't care what you got for Sam Huff.
It doesn't matter.
You gave up the best receiver in the NFL. So, do you agree that Cincinnati should be ahead of BYU, or are you BYU ahead of Cincinnati guy?
I don't fall one way or the other on that. I mean, if you want to go through their schedule, at the time you could say the Cincinnati win over SMU that was the best win out of the bunch.
Yeah. Well, BYU has nothing left, and I think they're holding that against them. And they really, at Boise was, and they looked really good doing it, but that's your best win. But it's not on them. That's the schedule.
They had to find a way.
Yeah, they had to find a way to play anybody.
Yeah, it's not their fault.
And everybody thinks they're a Group of Five team. They're not.
They're not included. Even the Group of Five, even all the benefit that the Group of Five gets for being the Group of Five and getting an automatic berth, BYU doesn't get that.
No, but everybody thinks, well, that's a Group of Five. No.
They're strictly an independent.
They're independent. Yeah, they're just like Notre Dame.
Yeah, they just don't have the built-up resume that Notre Dame has had over the last couple of years or a win over Clemson
right
this year.
But, okay, if you had to, which one do you want, Zach Wilson or Ritter?
Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Desmond Ritter's too inconsistent throwing the football.
Yep. I agree. That's why I think I would take BYU against Cincinnati, although Cincinnati.
Their defense is salty.
Yeah. And Dana said, I thought BYU was big. Holy crap. Cincinnati's huge.
Yeah. I mean, what we could get is those two seeing each other in a New Year's Six game, not a college football playoff game.
Right. In a New Year's Six. That would be cool. But I would much rather see them up against the bigger schools and say, you see? We can win. Listen, I don't know the University of Houston proved anything when they went to New Year's Six and they played Florida State. That was a crap quarterback deal that they had going on.
Yeah, I think Florida State was on their third stringer.
Yeah, and a guy who just looked like he couldn't even take the snap.
Yeah.
So that was I'm not sure that they proved anything. A BYU Cincinnati matchup on you, that would be a really interesting game.
It would be interesting for the college football obsessive, the people who love the sport a lot and want to see those two teams play a comparable opponent because they haven't seen that yet so far. But as far as the advancement of those two programs, beating one another doesn't help their cause very much.
So
seeing them against a quote unquote big school helps.
So they're 7-8. There is a scenario. If A&M would lose a game, because A&M is fifth, if A&M would lose a game down the stretch here, if Clemson and Notre Dame are going to play each other, so one of them could possibly be eliminated, especially if it's Clemson, because that would be a two-loss Clemson team. Alabama is going to play Florida. Alabama beats Florida. That's a two-loss Florida team. Beat it. You're out. There is a scenario where one of those teams can actually move up and be in the playoff.
You would have to get the College Football Playoff Committee to do something they have seemed unwilling to do.
Right.
Even when it wasn't the final ranking, they have kept group of five teams out of the picture. We know UCF went undefeated, and they weren't anywhere near making it.
No, but were they, at this point in the season, ranked seventh?
Who knows what they'll be ranked when the CFP comes out. They're only ranked in the AP,
right,
which doesn't matter.
So well, right,
that's what
right.
I'm saying. Will they rank them that high?
You can't tell me that they don't look at this, though. Here's a problem. Wisconsin is probably a problem. I don't know if Indiana and Wisconsin have to play, right?
No, they don't. Indiana plays Ohio State this Saturday,
oh, okay.
So that'll wipe out likely Indiana.
Boy, Wisconsin doesn't play anybody.
No.
So Wisconsin is a problem.
And
Oregon's a problem.
Yeah.
Oregon's
those are the
a problem.
Two. Yep. So you have a built, if Oregon is undefeated, I think the College Football Playoff Committee first rankings come out after this weekend. So if Oregon wins their game and Wisconsin wins theirs, you have two teams that they could justify saying, we think they're better. We thought they were better before the year. The only reason they're not higher is because they haven't played enough games. We're going to put them ahead. They showed a willingness not to put teams in spots they may deserve.
Well, Wisconsin will have to get through Ohio State in the championship game.
Yeah, so that'll get removed.
Yeah.
But how far down will – I'm just saying they showed a willingness. And if they're still at 6 or 7 or 7 or 8, depending on how it shakes out, who's to say, you know what? We still think Wisconsin's better. I don't know. They have just shown an unwillingness to raise those teams up to where a loss from a big team would elevate them. They just don't do it.
They just don't. But this might be the year. I mean, Cincinnati is good enough.
And what if Oklahoma?
I think BYU is good enough.
What if Oklahoma State runs the table the rest of the way? You think they're going to keep Oklahoma State out?
Not with wins over OU and they lost to Texas. So
who knows? But maybe they get a shot at Iowa State. And who knows? I'm just saying. They've already beaten Iowa State, I think.
Maybe they
see him again. I just think there are enough one-loss teams in the equation and then enough undefeated teams who haven't played a lot of games in the equation that they'll find a way.
Yep.
If they can find a viable reason to keep them down, they will.
They will. 1015 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. You want to get in here?
Well, hello!
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here. Hurry. Couple segments left. Joel and Charlie are going to be in early. They're going to take over the last segment. I got to cut out of here early today. Got a little client thing I got to get to. Yes, Del, it's a client thing. Okay, so I'm gonna have to take a second. I know Art's gonna be pissed. Okay, I'm gonna take a segment off early. But whatever. I'm the only one around here that works 4 hours a day.
What?
Well, you just sit there a lot, though.
You sit there. What do you do?
You don't do much of anything.
All you do is talk.
I'm working my ass off.
Yeah, you look really overwhelmed.
Working my ass off.
I do more work.
Okay. No, you don't do more work.
Yes.
Hey, big ups to Whitney Merciless. 2 tackles and 2 assists. Big job. Well done.
He was part of a team who held the Browns to 10 points. Why are you so upset with Whitney Merciless?
Whitney Merciless makes $54 million of
and
undeserved
a
money.
Dominant performance by his defense that he led. What are you upset about?
Was it a dominating?
10 points.
Are you, though?
10 points?
Are you?
10.
It wasn't about the points. It was about being able to stop somebody
how many times have they stopped the Browns and the Texans
now,
offense couldn't do anything about
it? I will say this. If you'd have told me before the game that the Texans give up 10 points, I was like, okay, I'll take that.
Yeah, they gave their offense plenty of opportunities to win this game. And, you know, your future highest paid quarterback in football almost did next to nothing until it was almost garbage time.
Well, he did throw for, 88 yards in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, congratulations. What about the first
quarter? What did he throw for total? By the way, this Astro story, Jackie Bradley,
isn't he one of the best defensive outfielders?
Yeah, that's great. How about some hitting?
He wasn't bad last year.
No, he actually hit 283 last year, but he's a 239 hitter. The year before, in a full season, 494 at bats, he hit 225. 234 before that, 245 before that. That's what he is.
Well, he's
a 240 hitter.
The Astros are poor, so you have to take what you can get, John. Realize that. All the owners here are looking to cut costs.
Well, what do you get? How much you got to pay him?
Well, I guess we're about to find out.
That's kind of a big deal. Sources are telling me Carlos Correa. Carlos Correa. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. Carlos Correa is going to be an Astro long term.
But I can trust you on this?
You can trust me on this one.
Man, I hope your blue check mark comes in because it's the only way I'll believe you.
Yeah.
There's
no blue check mark.
We're talking a Trout length deal?
No. Actually, it's going to be, and it'll be interesting. I think they're going to sign a long term deal, but he's going to be, there'll be a player option in there where he can opt out because there's a chance that he could become, actually, they're going to get him on it'll actually be a pretty friendly, team-friendly deal. I mean, Carlos, again, just a couple of years ago, they fought him over $750,000. They went to arbitration over $750,000, and they only wanted to pay him $4.25 million, and then this year was $8 million. So, I mean, I think Carlos is going to be around a 20 guy, but he wants to be a 30. If this is the ignition for Carlos, the impetus for him to be a, you know, star, to be a, well, he's got to stay healthy, obviously, we know that. But if this gives him the kind of confidence that I'm a team leader, I'm going to be one of the best players in the league, I'm the best defensive shortstop in the league, and I'm going to do it offensively as well, night in, night out for 158 games, 155 games, then it's a different deal. Then you go, well, now he's a thirty million dollar guy, but as is, he's not.
Mike Trout is a $35 million a year guy. Bryce Harper, I'm just using two guys who gotten really big deals recently and long term deals. 26. Does Carlos come in? Well, the first 7 or 8 years of Bryce Harper's deal, about 26, and then it decreases as he gets older. Still 22. Is Carlos a 26 per year guy? 22. What is he at 26 years old?
At 26, he's a 20. He's about a $20 million.
20 per year, and he wants what again?
But here's the deal: you can sign a long term deal where you're guaranteeing him that money, or he can get out if he turns into a $30 million guy. Then he can get out of it, and that's player friendly. But it's also, you know, not killing you, because if he doesn't turn into that guy, then you're not on the hook for 30.
What's the perfect thread the needle for the Astros? He's 26. What, a player opt out of after what, 4 years at 25 per, 20 something per, and then if he exceeds what that number is, then I guess you have to deal with it when you have to deal with it at when he's 30, and you feel better about giving him maybe another 5 years, or what's if you're the Astros, where do you want to thread the needle as far as length?
I think you go six, but he can get out after three. Maybe so, five. But so he can get, I think more six, and he can get out. He can get out after three if he's proven it. And then you're only on, if it's three more and you got him, you're only on the hook for 20 a year for him. He's not going to be a less than that guy anyway.
Unless
he can't stay healthy.
So he doesn't get Bryce Harper at 26 per year to start?
No.
Okay.
No. No, he's not Bryce Harper. Well, Bryce Harper, actually.
I'm talking about, yeah, I've looked at Bryce Harper's numbers.
Bryce Harper is either spectacular or
terrible.
Yeah. No, that's Bryce Harper. But Bryce Harper, I don't know that Carlos is a bigger name.
No. Like Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper was huge. His offseason, he was the number one free agent in his offseason.
Yeah, Bryce Harper has hit over 300 twice in his career and hasn't done it for now three seasons. He's been 249, 260. Since he signed with the Phillies coming off a 249 year, and he's hit 260 to 268 since.
Yeah, he's spectacular, though. That's the problem with Bryce Harper. He's a lot of flash.
Yeah.
Carlos's only problem is staying healthy. If he stays healthy, he'll hit. I think this offseason for him, that postseason, is going to propel him into great things. And so I think if the Astros are able to get a deal done, let's say 120, if they're able to get that job done and after three years he can opt out, I think it's a win for both sides.
Yeah, and he'd be 29, 30 at that time, still in line for a giant deal if he's really good. I don't know. I don't think baseball spending is going to change, and they're going to give long-term deals to 30-year-olds because that's what baseball does.
If the stories are true and we've got a vaccine in April, it's going to mean, I think that's a really, really big deal for baseball and all of these free agents right now.
So you
took your losses last year, but you're going to have people in the stands.
So if you're a free agent or a team, you don't expect big deals till later in the offseason when that vaccine becomes a clear possibility and you're going to get finalizing plans for fans in the stands? Or do you think it happens before? Like if you're we haven't seen anyone sign yet.
No.
Not of any major consequence. So do you think we're going to be waiting until February when a vaccine is more clear and baseball's plans more clear for fans?
I think we're getting better and better and better news. I think you can start to see, you know what? Let's be the first to get George Springer. Let's be the first to get Trevor Bauer. Because I think, and I've always thought this, we're going to have a vaccine. There's just too much money out there. We're going to have a vaccine, and it's going to make whatever company, Moderna, Pfizer, whatever it is, a boatload. And so the race for it is on, and it's going to happen.
I think we're going to have multiple, but when does baseball finalize their plans for, all right, vaccine clear. When does the season starts? April?
I think by next month.
So you think baseball will tell people by next month that we're going to have fans in the stands?
We're going to have
fans,
yes. It's looking better and better. Don't you think right now?
Yeah,
there will be fans in the stands next year.
I mean, if the vaccine timetable is correct, it'll be when it's widely distributed. Will be right around the time baseball season begins.
Right.
So it would fit baseball's timeline. I'm just wondering if their announcements will coincide with we're definitely going to have fans because of the vaccine. Let's start signing guys because right. The money will be right.
Right. I mean, they were stupid with money. Well, last offseason was last offseason, but. No, absolutely. I think it's absolutely going to help these guys. Now, there are still a lot of owners that took a hit this year, and so maybe they don't have the kind of money for the offseason. But this news right here about the vaccines, we're going to start seeing some money fly. 1029 ESPN 97.5. Time to talk a little bit about ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter does the work for you. ZipRecruiter helps you find that perfect candidate that you're looking for, qualified candidates. It takes a long time with all of the people that are out of work. It's sifting through these thousands of different resumes. Let ZipRecruiter do. They have powerful matching technology. They scan thousands of resumes to find the one with the right experience and actively invites them to apply for your job. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the right ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. It's too hard to find this on your own. Let ZipRecruiter find the perfect candidate for you. Try ZipRecruiter for free. All you have to do is go to ZipRecruiter.com/John. ZipRecruiter.com/John. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. It's ZipRecruiter.com/John.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I'm in love with the go-go. I'm in love with the go-go. I got it for the lolo. I'm in love with the go-go. I'm in love with the go-go.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, this is my final segment. Joel and Charlie are going to come in early for a segment. And it's all right, Art, okay? Yeah, it's okay, Art. So you can stop already. I know what you're going to do. Let's get Longhorn Keith in here. I got a couple of news of the weird stories that we got to do, but we'll get Art in here. Longhorn Keith in here. He wants to talk about Major League Baseball. What do you say, Art? What do you say, Longhorn Keith?
I got you, John. Everything's good, brother. Man, hey, listen, real quick, before I get to my take, John, I know you work hard, bro, so you deserve a little time off.
Thank you, buddy.
Knock it off.
Thank you, pal.
Doesn't work that hard.
See, love Longhorn Keith.
Hey, man, before I get to my take, John, y'all may have a problem down there in Baton Rouge. That statement that gentleman made from Alabama about LSU fans stuck his finger in it, but you got some sexual allegation going on. I wouldn't want to be Ed Ogeron right now.
No,
this is coming out of there.
This is a problem. If they found, and you know what? And then he deserves it. I love Coach O. I love what he did. But if he's letting kids play with sexual abuse, sexual assault accusations and ignoring it just so those kids can play, then he deserves whatever he gets. He deserves it. Yeah. And it's not just one or two. There's a bunch now. And that's crap. And you know what? That's not representing. Yeah. You got your priorities all messed up, dude. If it is in fact the case, then he deserves to lose his job and he deserves not to coach again.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Hey, you know, one of the things you guys were talking about, I always hear you talking about this, John, and I want to get an understanding because a buddy and I were arguing about this yesterday. Well, not necessarily arguing. We were just having a conversation about players playing within their contract or earning their contract. And my take has always been, and I could be wrong, but my take has always been, so a player reaches after his rookie deal, whether it's in baseball or especially in baseball, but especially but in any other sport, after their rookie deal, their contract that they earned is based off of their performance prior to and then what the team expectations are. That was my conversation with him. But he says, but yeah, but the guy's not playing up to that contract. And then my argument has always been, and I could be wrong, but and this is the reason why I want you guys to explain it. If the guy is not playing up to the contract, is it not playing up to the contract, or is it the money that he earned plus the expectations? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think that's all just rhetoric. Here, if he's not playing up to his contract, then you got to pay him because of guaranteed money in Major League Baseball. Then the dude's underplaying. Just if he did show during his rookie deal, an arbitration deal, that he deserves a big contract because he's a good player, but then he doesn't play well, then that's crap for the team, isn't it? Regardless,
yeah.
I don't think you're getting paid because you were underpaid. Listen, in arbitration now, guys are making $8, $10, $12 million. George Springer made $21 million in arbitration. And those are the last 3 years of your rookie deal. You can make money if you're playing well. So if you're underplaying afterwards, after you play well on your rookie deal, then that's on you.
Then, okay.
That's what I feel. I mean, you know what? What happened to you? Wait a minute. You were better in those first 6 years than you are when you get your money? That shows me that maybe the money got to you. Maybe we don't have the same focus, we don't have the same drive, or whatever the case may be. Some guys, they just lose it or whatever. That's too. But it kind of sucks for the team if, you know what, you're a good player, and then I give you money and you don't live up to it. To me.
No, I got you. That's a good point. So that was one of the conversations that we had. That's a great point, right? So, because I didn't think about the arbitration in baseball that the guys get consistently, especially
if you're playing well in your first 3 years and you come to arbitration, you're gonna get paid now. It's different than it was back in the day. You're gonna get paid. Longhorn Keith, we appreciate it, man. As always, thanks. And you're so smart. He is the smartest listener we have. Knowing that I deserve time off. I deserve a segment here, okay?
Okay.
I got to go. I'm with a client right now making sure that our clients are taken care of. That's priority one around here, Dell.
How well do you know this client?
Pardon me?
How well do you know the client?
I know him pretty well.
Have you spent time? Do you spend time with this client outside of business?
Yeah, because I'm always working. I want to make sure that client, we take care of him and that he feels like he's part of the family.
What business does this client work in?
Huh?
What business does the client work in?
Barbecue.
Uh-huh.
Restaurant.
And maybe
business.
Even Mexican food?
Yeah, he's also got some. He got a good Mexican there, too.
Would you say, even despite the fact that this client may be a good friend of yours, you tend to trash him quite a bit on the show?
I wouldn't say trash. I'm just honest about him.
Be honest about the client's name. What's his name?
His name. That doesn't matter.
Oh. You're not going to be honest about that?
I'm not being honest. It doesn't matter. Yanni's name doesn't matter.
Oh, there it is.
Okay.
Yeah, John's going to hang out with Yanni.
I'm not going to hang out. We're in a golf tournament that the client asked me to play in. Okay?
Cleef, that's the hard work he's taking off from. That's the reason for him taking off from all the hard work he does. He's going to play golf with his friend.
This is not the smartest criminal here, though. So, an accused porch pirate.
What's a porch? What's a porch pirate?
Someone who steals off of porches.
Okay.
Someone who steals off the porches. Apparently, there's a video of him stealing off the porch. Well, he'd been arrested because he wore the same exact shirt the very next day to a South Carolina courtroom that he had worn to steal packages from people's porches.
And that's the only way they identified him?
Well, it's a pretty good... It's first of all, change your shirt.
Yeah, but is it? I just think maybe not just base it off the shirt he's wearing because, you know, you got camera, you can see his face. But yeah,
I mean, yeah.
If you got court the next day,
it was a green Superman shirt.
Okay, then that's
there ain't a bunch of those.
That's
right?
Very identifiable. It's not just a basic collared shirt,
right?
A green Superman shirt, that doesn't even make sense to me.
No, I know,
but it's pretty dumb.
No. He belongs in the dumb Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a dumb move.
Don't wear the same shirt where you just ripped off people from their porch and there's video of you to court the next day.
Look, guys, that camera's fake news. Swear what I want. You can't prove anything. No, we have you on camera in that shirt.
Yeah. We got video of you right here.
In all that
right.
Shirt.
Joel and Charlie next right here on ESPN. Starting a little bit early
look
right
how,
here on
look
ESPN.
Look how you get out on time.
This is 10, 40. 40.
That's what I'm saying. Even earlier than getting out 40. On time.
Goodbye.
Trash.
ESPN 97.5.